I Was Kidnapped by Burly Kunari Pirates by Tofsla. Read by Kess. This is a Dragon Age fanfiction containing the pairings of the Iron Bull / Dorian Parvus and Dorian Parvus / original male characters. This fanfiction is tagged with alternate universe, canon divergence, post-canon, romance, exhibitionism, rough sex, minor trespasser spoilers, fake kidnapping, non-sexual intimacy, sexual intimacy, moresomes, rope bondage, and open relationships. Summary. Fleeing from political enemies, Dorian Parvus never expected to face a far greater danger on the high seas, a danger to himself, and a danger to his heart. A thoroughly pornographic pulp romance. First there was a letter, received over lunch at a very fine Minrathus restaurant, renowned both for the quality of its kitchen and the rarity of poisonings in its premises. The runner was terribly overexerted, and more than a little red in the face, and very young indeed. Dorian's lunch companion looked rather taken aback, but Dorian only smiled, at the runner first, and then at his companion, and tipped well. He read it with a carefully still face. Dorian, I must have you in Carinus by summer's day, and I will not accept excuses. I recommend the sea route. Nernus has strong opinions, but perhaps this is not the time. May. A quiet tingle of magic in his fingers when he touched her signature. All in order. May's note was very exactly phrased, but it had been written in haste, the letters slanting and sprawling. They so often were these days. Elegant hand style was for communication with one's enemies, the perfect embellished curl of one's letters twisting around an insult. May and Dorian were allies in a war that the Magisterium would rather pretend it was not waging. All that mattered was speed. She would not have written at all, were it not important.
A problem?
His companion asked, with a little too much hope.
No, no. Only an overzealous petitioner. Dorian said.
Laughed.
I do, of course, do my best to help where I can, but this sort of urgency over a matter which could easily have waited an hour or two. Well, people do have their ideas, don't they? Of course they do. I suppose they can't help it. Have a little more of the Verdicchio. It really is quite excellent. Southern Antiva's finest export, I suspect.
Dorian had always loathed sea travel, but he left Minrathus within the week, following May's coded instructions as to choice of ship. Under the summer sun, the waters of the Nosan Sea glimmered a brilliant turquoise. The wind was light but favourable, and the sea swell was quite nearly tolerable. On the other hand, there were Canary to be considered. Somewhere not far to the north, Saharan was a battleground. No more of the skirmishing of his youth, the occasional raiding parties he had run from as a boy. The island burned. He rather thought the haze of it was visible on the horizon, interrupting the otherwise seamless shift from sea to sky. The coast of the mainland, too, was becoming less safe. The sea was certainly dangerous. The crew were on edge with it, and no other passengers had decided to dare the waters at all. What danger had been, then, on the land route? Something terribly exciting and deadly, presumably. Dorian had, as a young man, harboured a terrible secret love for lowbrow fiction. He thought of it now. Perhaps a seduction by a dashing elven assassin with a tragic past? More likely a poisoning, or a knife in the back while he slept. Perhaps one of his staff had been brought. Perhaps Magister Larsius had finally solidified his plans to ensure Dorian's death of natural causes. Spontaneous exsanguination, for example. Such a useful legal classification. Technically, it was used for registering the deaths of slaves. Make it preserve us all from my colleagues, Dorian thought to himself. He felt, if he was to be honest with himself, rather tired. He had been fighting his fight for 5 years, since the death by natural causes of the previous Magister Barvis. He was not altogether young any longer. Not old, oh no, but nonetheless. Diversions, of course, did exist. There was a sailor who particularly appealed to him. Tall, not broad, but well-muscled, a little stubble, very dark eyes. His skin was several shades darker than Dorian's, and his hands were delightfully rough against Dorian's skin. He laughed at Dorian's jokes, and let his gaze linger on the hollow of Dorian's throat when Dorian drank, and he was, as it turned out, quite an obliging bed partner. Dorian had always enjoyed sucking cock, but to find a fellow enthusiast into Vinter was unusual. And they kept one another very pleasantly entertained in their free moments. In the South, it had been easier, in a way. He'd had good sex frequently, although love he had not managed to find. Here, something easy and unashamed was to be treasured in itself. He took his pleasure, and gave in return, and considered it rather a respite from Minrathus. And then there were, of course, letters to write, notes to put in order, strategies to consider. He was not idle those first days. From time to time, he quite forgot to complain of seasickness. Naturally, none of this could last. It had a simplicity to it, and simplicity was something Dorian was quite poorly acquainted with. His life had, for many years, been quite entirely ludicrous. The entire business in the South had been a very bizarre sort of joke from start to finish. Between the demons, the accidental time travel, the brief trip to the Fade, and the entire business with the ancient darkspawn magister. It had been very important, and he had felt the effects of that time deeply ever since, but it had also been undeniably implausible. Why he should have expected anything about his life to become more sensible when he began work to reform the Imperium, he really couldn't say. Perhaps it was only that there was some sort of weight to the thought, a suggestion of a dignified figure doing what was right despite personal cost. Possibly, if he was very successful and very lucky, they would one day make him sound like that sort of person in some treatise on the history of Tevinter. In reality, he was the kind of person who really ought not to be at the least surprised to be accosted, a week and a half into his journey, by a Kunari pirate ship. Somehow, he contrived to feel surprise anyway. Kunari pirates were, really, always somewhat surprising. No matter how big one thought of Kunari as being, up close they were invariably larger. An explosion. Not a direct hit, but a warning. Setting the crew running to the rigging. A quick discussion between captain and first mate and helmsman. No, no point in trying to come about and run. Fight? Surrender? Dorian's staff was under his pack in the hold. He could run for it now. He should run for it now. It would be hard to get at. He'd put it away well. A concession to the comfort of the crew, who were in large part and even. The Kunari ship glided in beside them. A jolt as it knocked up against them, its great bulk sending the modest vessel tilting dangerously. On the deck above them, someone was yelling orders in rapid Kunlat. The largest of the Kunari, horns practically as broad as his considerable shoulders, the shaft of a great maul laid over those shoulders only emphasizing their size and strength. Dorian thought first, naturally enough, of fire. Pyromancy was a natural strength of his, sparks into their faces as they came aboard. His next thought was of the unbroken horizon, the unknowable fathoms of water below him, wood and rope and pitch and nowhere to run.
Certainly he could probably extinguish his own fires, but he was the only mage present on the ship, and if he were knocked down... It was in this moment of indecision that he lost the advantage. The Qunari were already aboard, leaping easily down over the edge of the gunwale, blades glittering in the sun. This one at the neck of the boatswain, this one pointed between the captain's eyes. There wasn't going to be a fight at all, Dorian realized and felt sick. No chance to run below for his staff. The crystal, which would allow him to call to Adar for help, too, lay beyond his reach. But what a ridiculous thought. Speaking to her would do nothing but frighten her. Two of the men got their hands on him. No pointed blade for him. He was physically held with a strength which he couldn't hope to match, although he made the attempt. Their hands tightened on him in response, just short of bruising. Both of them towered over him. They were bare-chested, elaborate red markings painted across their skin. In other circumstances, he might have paid good money to be so manhandled. What a terrible thought. He was certainly about to die, at best, at worst taken prisoner. Did Qunari hold hostages? Not particularly, that he could recall. His mother's voice in his head. Dorian Parvis, could you for once in your life take something seriously? Naturally not. There was the Qunari captain, leaning down with a laugh, going to one knee as he landed and shifting it into a fighting stance on the instant, although there was nobody to fight. Showy. Rather un-Qunari, in fact. He looked directly at Dorian with his single eye. Of course, he only had one eye. One probably ought to be grateful that he hadn't gone so far as a hook for a hand in his adherence to stereotypes.
Take that one,
he said, in accented common. His natural mode of speaking seemed to be only a degree away from growling.
Leave the rest. They'll carry the message. A broad grin. Utter Vinta Magister. What a good day this is. Ananasam Kune.
Are you entirely serious? Dorian said, because although he'd been told a great many times that his smart mouth was liable to get him into trouble, it really didn't seem as though it would make much of a difference either way right now. I'm being kidnapped by Qunari pirates. This is ludicrous. This does not happen. This is the plot of the worst sort of novel.
Oh?
The captain said.
You'd like me to kill you now, because I have to tell you. I really don't want to. I have plans for you, Bus Cerebus.
The two Qunari holding him had claws. They dug sharply into Dorian's upper arm where his skin was bare, prickling points that drew blood, a slow welling as from thorn wounds.
You should know, Dorian said, that I'm only going along with this for the sake of the crew. I know, the captain said. That's because you're a fool. Come.
They'll collar me, of course, he thought. But none of them had a collar in their hands. Once they'd retreated to their own ship then, before they had the chance. Dorian opened himself to the fade, pulling carefully at the shape of it, built a fire in his mind. A burning thought held in readiness. He was half-dragged, half-shoved up a plank that had been dropped between the decks. The ships shifted and creaked and dragged against each other. For a dizzy moment, a space opened between them. It was a long drop to the sea. He flicked his eyes hurriedly upward.
Discipline, Halward Parvis had said. You must be able to empty your mind of all distractions. Damn him. Damn him for being fallible. Damn him for getting assassinated. Damn him for existing in a place between hatred and love in Dorian's mind. He was dead, and still Dorian was not free of him.
He emptied his mind. Breathe in. Breathe out. A fire. Air to fan it. He stumbled over the gunwale, the drop to the deck greater than he'd expected. A moment of lost balance. The space between the ships widened, a length between them. Fire.
Shit, no,
the captain said from somewhere in front of him. His voice had changed, Dorian realized in surprise. Not a growl at all, although a hint of accent remained.
Look, sorry about this.
A pair of cuffs snapped closed around his wrists. The fire started and died before it could become real. Dorian reached frantically after it and got only nausea for his effort. The fade was lost to him. It was very much like being smote, a charming southern custom he would certainly have been happy to leave in the south. And this time, he hadn't been mentally prepared for it.
Well, that about did it.
His knees seemed inclined to give way. It was the captain who caught him, easy hands firm under his elbow, against his waist.
Easy,
he said. His expression made no sense at all. It couldn't, in any possible world, be one of mild concern.
Why? Dorian snapped. Is it terribly important to you that I stand while you sew my fucking mouth shut?
Hey, the Qunari said.
His eyes, Dorian noted, flicked to Dorian's mouth for a moment, rested there with a sort of interest that Dorian was entirely familiar with.
Hey, I'm not going to do that. Easy, let's get you to my cabin.
Dorian didn't mean to laugh, but then what else had gone to plan so far? It was an awful sound. Hysterical, too close to a sob. The Qunari let go of him hurriedly, raising his hands in what seemed to be meant as a placating gesture.
Oh, fuck no, Dorian said. Why should we do that? If you're going to fuck me, or torture me, or whatever it is you like, why not invite everyone? Go ahead. You have a notoriously depraved magister at your mercy. Make a party of it.
He went to throw his arms wide in invitation, but links between the cuffs caught, trapped his hands palm up in front of him.
Fust a bust.
Curiously, the rest of the crew seemed to be studiously pretending not to hear. Nobody was so much as looking in their direction. Around them, the business of the ship went on as though everything about the situation was normal. Orders shouted in common and Qunlat both, the canvas of the sails creaking as the ropes were pulled taut. It was all too entirely absurd.
Stop,
the Qunari said. He looked angry now, and Dorian felt a bitter satisfaction at that. If provocation was all he had left, then at least he was terribly good at it.
Stop,
the Qunari said again, and took a step towards Dorian, reaching for something in a pouch at his belt. He lowered his voice.
I am working for Magister Tilani. Here.
He pressed a heavy pendant and a scroll of parchment into Dorian's hands, and took advantage of the moment for which this sequence of events robbed Dorian of the power of speech, to steer him towards the stern and into a large cabin, cluttered with tools, charts, piles of books. In an enclosed space, the wretched man seemed even larger, which ought not to have been possible.
Going to take the cuffs off now, he said. Check May's magic failsafe shit before you set fire to anything. Time enough to kill us all if I'm fucking with you. Deal?
Dorian stared mutinously up at him, but found his gaze met with perfectly even patience. Finally, he sighed and held out his hands, and focused on the captain's large fingers as he unfastened the cuffs to avoid having to meet his eyes. The tactic was less than successful. No way around it. The touches to Dorian's wrists that couldn't be avoided were quite ludicrously careful. Gentle, even. Just because he isn't holding you for the Qun doesn't mean you're safe, he told himself sharply. The man had abducted him, laughed at him, cut off his magic.
The contents of the parchment, whatever they were, might be forged. The cuffs fell away. The pressure in Dorian's head released all at once.
All right?
The man asked, and Dorian, unable to think of a reasonable response, turned sharply away from him. May's signature was entirely in order. Dorian stared blankly at it.
This letter is bizarre, he said flatly. Which is, I suppose, at least in keeping.
He scanned it once more.
The Iron Bull. Really? I am to believe that May is employing someone who goes by the name The Iron Bull. Goes with the horns,
the bull said unnecessarily.
Pendant's the important bit.
Dorian turned the pendant over in his hand. It was quite an ordinary thing. A diamond teardrop hung in the centre of a ring of elaborate gold foliage, rather on the wrong side of good taste, and certainly some century out of fashion. He examined it for seams, hidden compartments, concealed markings. Tested it finally, carefully, with magic tingling through his fingertips. This time, the diamond glowed at his touch. Well, an unconventional sort of sending crystal, certainly. Hopefully discreet, at least.
Oh, Dorian, thank goodness, May's voice said. I am deeply sorry for this subterfuge, but we seem to be having something of a Venatori problem again.
Something of a Venatori problem?
Dorian said blankly when the pendant had gone dead again.
That certainly is one way of putting it.
The Iron Bull considered him in silence.
Dorian looked up at him and felt very tired, unsure whether he was meant to resent the man or feel grateful, and leaning as ever towards the former. It was unjust of him, certainly. But habits were habits, and he had recently been dragged from a really unusually comfortable sea voyage into the middle of a reality where a remarkably extensive plot on his life had necessitated his temporary disappearance.
It was too much.
If the Iron Bull would just say something that he could respond to with viciousness. If he could be as rough and inconsiderate as expected. The cuffs had been a fine start. Something to hate. The look of concern on his face was less promising.
I'll clear out, the Iron Bull said finally. Give you some time to figure this shit out. Send for some food. Bed's yours if you need it. Oh, by all means, Dorian said savagely. Be courteous.
The Iron Bull raised a single eyebrow at Dorian and shrugged.
Yeah, well.
He had to duck his head to get his horns through the door. Dorian watched the process with considerable irritation, thought of doing something pointless and dramatic, like throwing something breakable across the cabin, and then thought guiltily of the Iron Bull stooping to clear it up with his huge, unbearably careful hands.
Why? He said to nobody at all. Whatever did I do?
Considering the day he was having, he considered it a small mercy that no answer came. Dorian awoke to the uneven flickering of lamplight, dancing red and gold, sending shadows leaping and twisting across his eyelids. The bed he was curled up on smelled quite definitely of someone unfamiliar, which was not an unusual circumstance in and of itself, except that he was quite sure he hadn't.
Oh, he said.
He opened his eyes. The lamp was hanging from the ceiling of the cabin, swaying with the motion of the boat. It seemed incongruously elaborate in the otherwise utilitarian cabin. The metal fittings were made of dawnstone, gleaming a gentle pink.
Welcome back.
The Iron Bull said from the other side of the cabin, raising his head from whatever it was he'd been bent over. On the wooden wall behind him, the shadow of his horns became enormous, like the great head of a high dragon. His face, relaxed and well-lit, seemed just then curiously at odds with that imposing image.
Certainly it was one huge network of scars and badly shaved besides. Certainly the features were unconventional. Not beautiful in the way of Tevinter in the slightest. No marble statue in the ancient palazzos of Minrathus for a face like this. No subtly erotic painting of a heroic figure Relanus had ever commissioned held its likeness. But there was something to it, all the same. A quality Dorian was considerably more inclined, by his basic nature, to appreciate. Anger had saved him from seeing it before. Now drowsy and less than entirely guarded, he was not so fortunate. Dorian swallowed.
"Food's on the table,"
the Iron Bull added when Dorian failed to do more than watch him. "Ah," Dorian said. "Well, thank you." The Iron Bull shrugged.
"Hey, any time. Sorry about earlier. I hoped maybe coughs wouldn't fuck you up as badly as a collar, but I'd rather not have done it at all."
"That's unexpected," Dorian said, not as lightly as he'd hoped to. He considered his options. If he thought too hard about the feeling of the cuffs, the terrible pressure of having his magic constricted, there was still some irritation there. But in fairness, he had been about to set the entire ship on fire. "Rather novel, really. Thank you. I accept your apology. I trust it won't happen again."
"Huh. Novel. Really?"
The Iron Bull seemed to be considering him.
"Not used to people saying sorry for stepping on your delicate little toes."
"Perhaps you ought to stop talking," Dorian said. "I was beginning to feel almost charitable towards you for a moment." Biddy smiled. The food was good, if simple. Crisp bread with herbs baked into it, soft goat's cheese, dried dates. Some curried mutton, not in any style he was familiar with, hot and fragrant.
"You've got your own cabin,"
the Iron Bull said.
"Got some clothes of yours from Maze in a bag in there, and a staff she said would suit you. Aims to avoid you needing to fight for your life, but..."
He shrugged. "A careful man," Dorian said.
"You certainly didn't give that impression before. And I'm afraid I've made rather a poor show of defending myself today, but I promise you, I'm generally quite able."
The Iron Bull laughed.
"Yeah, I believe you. Stories I've heard, your May might be overreacting."
It would be nice if that were the case, but Dorian's skill lay far more in open combat than in avoiding assassination attempts.
"I'm sure she has the measure of the situation," he said.
"She generally does."
"Yeah,"
the Iron Bull said.
"I'm just saying. I don't think you're weak for needing our services, and I don't think you're as soft as most of your lot. I know you pulled your weight for the Inquisition. Don't sweat it."
"My reputation precedes me, then," Dorian said. "And naturally I'm not a weak man. I am, in fact, quite ludicrously talented."
"Not to mention handsome,"
the Iron Bull said.
"Certainly,"
Dorian said with his most brilliant smile, and felt rather more like himself again. Here, then, he was, indefinitely confined, albeit more willingly and comfortably than he had anticipated, on board a ship full of Talvashoth. She was quite a beautiful ship, now that he had the time to consider her. Her great ram jutting out from her prow at the waterline was embossed to a dragon's likeness. She was narrow and quick, well kept, with both sails and oars to propel her, although the oars were just then out of use. Her name was Atashi. It was a word Dorian had reason to know, and it amused him rather that this should be the case. "I've fought a number of dragons, you know," he told the Iron Bull, leaning on the gunwale rail, his eyes on the horizon rather than the dizzy, frothing rush of water past the ship's hull.
"Shit. Seriously?"
the Iron Bull said. He sounded impressed.
"I heard the stories, but you know how things are. My network's not what it used to be. I figured... Damn."
"Oh, yes," Dorian said. "It was an experience. I grant you, although I didn't entirely share the enthusiasm of some of my companions. Adar and Sarah had been running on a high for days after the first one, talking it through again and again. That had been shortly before they first fell into bed together, hadn't it? Possibly not a coincidence, that, now that he thought about it.
"Damn,"
the Iron Bull said again.
"Should have joined the Inquisition after all."
Dorian glanced up at him, startled.
"You were going to?" "Yeah,"
the Iron Bull said, rubbing at the back of his neck as though he was self-conscious about something, which was ridiculous.
"I was a spy back then. Got my orders from the Ben Hasrath to get close to the Inquisitor. But it never worked out. Bunch of other shit happened first. Wouldn't have done them much good, I guess. I went Talvashoth not long after that."
He sounded bitter, but which part was the reason for the sentiment was impossible to say. We could have known each other, Dorian thought. We could have hated each other on sight. Natural enemies made to work together. What a strange thought. In fact, Dorian would have found himself entirely comfortable going on as before in his new situation, but for one detail, which only occurred to him after the first day of exploration. He did not have any of the papers he had been working on at his disposal, nor any of the books he had been referring to for his research. Even the option of correspondence was lost to him. Even the option of talking to Adar, and mustn't she be worrying now?
"I'm not entirely certain whether your plan was to save my life or force me to go on holiday," he told May, who only laughed at him.
"Well, I've heard the sea air is good for you," she told him, "and I thought you might enjoy the view. But as to the other matter, I do have some leads to run past you." All well and good. For an hour, Dorian felt quite nearly useful. And then it was done, and May was called away on other business, and Dorian was quite at a loss as to what to do with himself, stranded at sea on board a ship full of half-naked, extremely muscular men. He ran that last part of his thought through his mind again, and then lay on his cot and laughed until his ribs hurt.
"Dorian Parvis," he said sternly to himself, "you have spent far too long arguing with the Magisterium. I fear you're becoming old." So, sex.
That collection of tawdry literature he had maintained in a box under his bed as a young man had featured, naturally enough, more than one story of Canary kidnappings, never mind the plausibility of such a thing. They had been among his favourites, in fact. Few of them were outright pornographic, not, at least, as pornographic as he would have preferred, but he had been blessed with quite a vivid imagination. Hints had been more than enough to build an active fantasy life around. Altus Dorian Parvis had bedded men and elves, but he had daydreamed of larger bodies, of a strength he could not hope to resist, of being pinned down and taken thoroughly and repeatedly, and screaming his pleasure through the hole until he was hoarse with it. Quite the opposite, in other words, of the decidedly furtive sex he had experienced at the time, where orgasms were easily come by, but not necessarily of any particular quality. He had learned to find better sex with age. He had experienced sex in the South, where scandal was not an automatic consequence of discovery. He had grown in a multitude of ways. He had never quite outgrown that fantasy, though, had he? Because he was not an over-entitled child any longer, he did not immediately rush off to proposition some as-yet-unknown crew member with better things to be doing. But he allowed himself to imagine. Sat with the men for drinks in the evening, took meals with them, made small talk. Companionship was more than welcome in itself, and they were a delightfully rowdy group, reminding him, in a way, of the South. Adar's kith stumbling through Skyhold in the soft evening light, the day they'd finally been recruited. Sarah had sat balanced on Adar's shoulders, and all of them had sung bawdy tavern songs in a variety of keys. There had been that easy sort of joking passed back and forth between them, and quite atrocious poetry reading. And Adar had suddenly looked very much like a woman who had been a mercenary. How he missed Adar. And Sarah too. It was good, after all, to have people to drink with. Had he drunk without considering who had his back in case of an attack since Skyhold? Certainly not. A game of suggestion, then, which was an enjoyable enough thing, even if nothing was won. He thought idly of possibilities at breakfast with the off-duty crew, considering carefully the smile Lassar gave him when he accepted a bowl of thick porridge. Did not look away when caught considering Kay's rather wonderful arms, but rather raised his eyes slowly to Kay's face, raised an eyebrow. His shirt he had left open, and his neck was displayed to full advantage. He knew very well that he was looking terribly dashing, his brown skin glowing in the sun, the corner of his mouth turned up into a teasing smile. Kay, it seemed, knew it too. This game he was eminently well qualified to play. He had played it for so very many years, and he knew a great many local variations. It was a question of setting lures and waiting and making himself useful in the interim. Ropes coiled and potatoes sliced, not an aloof magister, but someone to talk to, someone to approach. And late at night it was the Iron Bull he sat with, perched on a corner of the desk with a cup of wine between his hands, watching the bull fill out his ledgers meticulously. "You use a cipher," Dorian said thoughtfully, tracing his finger over dry ink.
"Habit,"
the bull said bluntly, and then seemed to consider further.
"Exercise,"
he added.
"Hmm," Dorian said. "You have a great deal more in your head than you want people to believe, I suspect."
"I don't know,"
the bull said, looking up at him with an unreadable expression.
"Can't be hiding it that well if you think so, can I? Maybe I'm not all that clever."
Dorian laughed and poured him some more wine, leaning in over the bull to do it, a hand on his shoulder, a flash of a smile. His skin was very warm.
"Have it your way, I suppose. All Cunaria, savage brutes, even the spies. My younger self would agree, I'm sure."
Another night. A small huddle gathered in the centre of the deck, out of the way of the rigging. The stars were clear and bright, the air mercifully cool. Atashi moved sedately, her sails loose, no great hurry to go anywhere at all. Mavaris's work had borne no fruit that day.
"Wicked grace, is it?"
Dorian said, inspecting Kay's hand over his shoulder.
"Alas, I haven't coin on my person just now. I rather miss it. Will you allow me to watch, at least?"
He couldn't remember the name of the man who laughed at that, tall and rather narrowly built, the stumps of his horns capped with beautifully curling silver. He ought to learn it.
"Could bet something other than coin,"
the man said, and Dorian joined in the laughter, delighted.
"Perhaps another day, my friend," he said, considerably heartened by the suggestion. "Allow me some time to appreciate the virtues of the players in peace tonight."
The man nodded assent, and Dorian folded his legs under him beside Kay, who flashed him a grin and nudged a tankard towards him across the deck. Dark ale, like a taste of the south, a terribly welcome surprise. Kay looked a little younger like this than he had under the harsh sun. Now, relaxed and clean-shaven, his skin surprisingly smooth. He looked perhaps 5 years younger than Dorian himself. Charmingly enthusiastic, but not naive. Dorian drank deeply and passed it back to Kay, who looked at him as though issuing a dare, and drank from the very same spot, his mouth fitting entirely over the place Dorian's lips had been.
"Now," Dorian said primly, "eyes on the game, or you'll lose your coin."
Laughter. Kay lost his coin in any case and seemed not to mind terribly. Dorian finished Kay's drink for him and stood.
"Well then," he said. I suppose I'll retire, unless you're in terrible need of consolation. Kay's footsteps shadowed his the entire way back to his cabin.
So, here we are,
Dorian said, closing the door behind them.
What is it that you enjoy, I wonder? Personally, I'm rather of a mind to be fucked, but I'm ever so flexible.
Kay laughed at that, wrapped an arm around Dorian's waist. His arms really were very strong, circled Dorian easily.
Oh, that was nice. I bet you are, he said. Fucking you works for me, though.
He bent to Dorian's ear, kissed his neck just below.
Been thinking about that ass of yours. Then by all means,
Dorian said with a breathless laugh, and coaxed Kay back up to kiss him on his beautiful dark lips, open-mouthed and wet, the taste of ale between them. Like this, then, Dorian on his hands and knees on the narrow cot, hands clutching desperately at the wooden edge of it, head hanging to see the sway of his cock between his legs as Kay fucked him with quick, rough strokes. Every movement of Kay's cock inside him had him gasping,
yes, harder, fuck, please, oh!
Kay's hands on his hips, lifting his knees very nearly off the bed to change the angle, and Dorian cursing breathlessly, toes curling, sweat running down his face. His mouth hung open on a long moan as Kay slammed home again. Hardly a touch to his cock so far. He had a hazy sort of suspicion that he wasn't going to need it, wanted very much to test the idea. Kay was huge and rough, and it was perfectly, perfectly, painfully good, an ache that sat deep inside him. Frustration and satisfaction in one.
Your hands,
he managed.
Tighter, bruise me.
Kay's hands clenched convulsively, as though he couldn't have done anything but obey. Vashoth blunted their claws, but they felt a great deal more than fingernails anyway, ever so solid. Kay gave a ragged moan.
Yes, Dorian cried, and oh, I'm...
He came with a drawn-out moan, careless of who might hear, rather startled by the sudden intensity of it. His arms shook. Kay, still thrusting into him, jerky little motions of his hips, got a hand under Dorian's stomach to help him stay up. And Dorian leaned gratefully into it, gasped at the pressure, caught between the press of Kay's cock inside him and his hand outside. His cock pulsed weakly again.
Damn,
Kay said.
Damn, you're something. Oh, Dorian said weakly, don't tell me you're done already. You might at least come in me.
Kay groaned. Dorian shifted helpfully against him as best he could, a little roll of his hips, a game attempt at squeezing around Kay's cock.
Hard, he said. Make it too much. Shit.
Kay said, and Dorian made a small noise of protest as he pulled away, but he was only adding more oil. He pushed back into Dorian in one long slide, settled like that to coax Dorian into rearranging himself, shoulders down on the mattress, Kay's hand between his shoulder blades.
Oh, stay like that, Dorian said, and Kay laughed, obliged, and began to fuck him properly again.
Brutally hard thrusts, leaning to pin him firmly in place. No chance of Dorian getting hard again so fast, but the heat of it twisted through him anyway. He felt rather dizzy with it, moaned and moaned, and it was his whole body trembling now, but the hands on his back and his hip kept him grounded through the overstimulation. Kay shuddered, breath hot against Dorian's back as he bowed over him, came wonderfully hard deep inside Dorian, muttering incoherent fragments of words that Dorian was beyond trying to interpret. Stroked his hair back from his face afterwards, lay with him in a messy heap, firm hands stroking down his arms until he began to feel steady again.
Hmm,
Kay said finally.
yawned. His horn scraped a little across the wooden panels of the wall as he shifted.
Gotta go to sleep for a couple of hours before next watch. You good?
Dorian considered. He was more relaxed than he'd been in months, his body singing with it even as aches began to set in. No sleep for him, not yet, not when he felt this good. But it must be about time for the bull to head back to his cabin, and Dorian might join him, share a drink, pretend not to be amused by the terrible quality of his puns.
Yes, yes, he said, stretched, thinking his way through the process of finding some cleaner clothes.
Do go on. I'll manage tolerably well without you.
Drink with me sometime again.
A brief kiss in the doorway. A smile. Dorian considered the lack of shame with which Kay conducted himself, found himself fond of it. He dressed himself a little haphazardly, and took the most perverse delight in not fussing over the mess of his hair, and went to find the bull. As hoped, there the bull sat, legs outstretched in front of him, head tipped tiredly back. One hand rested on his thigh, fingers pressing, testing some tired muscle.
Hey,
he said when Dorian came in, looked up at him with a grin.
You've had a good night, then.
How he had fought Adar over milder comments even than this. But that was a long time ago.
I certainly have,
Dorian said, threw himself down on the bed with a sigh of contentment.
It lacked only your terrible trousers, and so here I am. Oh, really?
The bull said.
Would have thought you'd be tired out. Sounded pretty energetic. Kay, was it?
Not like that, you horror,
Dorian said. And then,
it was, of course.
Does your leg hurt?
Strained something,
the bull said.
Guess I'm starting to slow down. Not as young as I used to be.
Dorian considered this issue and found that he felt magnanimous, charitable towards the entire world, even those parts of it which had some days previously put magic dampening cuffs on him. It would, in fact, have been a shame to burn to death and miss all of this.
None of us are. If you pour me a drink and come over here, I can do something about one part of that.
The bull considered him.
Can you?
Heat, Dorian said, is quite wonderful for easing tension, and I happen to be very good with my fingers.
All right,
the bull said, and heaved himself up, came to perch on the edge of the bed. He brought a bottle with him, clear amber liquid. Perhaps brandy. Dorian thought about fire. This time he thought only about embers, the warmth from a well-tended fire burning slowly through the night. It glowed around his fingers, gentle and comfortable. It was easy to do. It suited his current state very well.
Here,
he said, and laid his hand lightly against the bull's leg, through which a slight tremor ran at his touch. It stilled almost immediately. The bull sighed.
All right,
he said.
Your magic fingers win this one. That's pretty good.
I know all sorts of tricks, Dorian said, shot the bull a pleased smile.
Oh, you were going to tell me how you know our beloved friend May, who didn't have a single piece of good news for me today, by the way.
She'll get there,
the bull said.
You keep going through her leads. Anyway, you know that summer place she has down south?
Certainly, Dorian said.
The one with the atrocious murals. I'm regrettably familiar. Charmingly rustic,
the bull said, so very seriously, and Dorian, after a moment of consideration of the merits of arguing this point, burst out laughing.
The bull grinned.
Yeah, that place, anyway. So she's had it since before her husband died. It's got a basement, a dwarfy basement, miles of tunnels, secret entrances, the works.
Seriously?
Dorian said.
What? Why not? She never showed you? Ask her to see her cave. She'll love it.
I am seriously disinterested in seeing May's cave, Dorian said, and pretended, when the bull laughed uproariously, that he hadn't intended the innuendo.
Get on with the story before I fall asleep and drool on your pillow. Yeah, well, there was this surfacer, Merchant's Guild, maybe, or Carter, or both. I can never tell the difference.
It's all in the quality of the alcohol, Dorian said. His legs were aching wonderfully. The bull's thigh was slowly relaxing under his hand.
Definitely Carter, then,
the bull said.
He had this story. Lost wealth of his ancestors and all that crap, the usual. Had a seal with a house crest, and he showed us this door with the same crest on it, told us to get at whatever was in there and return it to him.
I collect that your activities are many and varied, Dorian said.
Oh yeah, we do all sorts. Got this whole gang who aren't here. Only took Vashoth for this one. Krem's a good one, but he'd make a shitty fake Kunari. Rocky'd be even worse and he'd get seasick. Plus, people might recognize them. They'd see a ship full of Kunari or Vashoth and it's all just horns to them. Great cover.
That's rather terrible, actually, Dorian said. He knew it very well to be true. The bull laughed.
Hey, it's working in your favor right now.
Dorian huffed without the slightest bit of real irritation.
Do you refer to my miraculous disappearance or to my energetic bedroom activities? Hey, the bull said. Both seem to be going well.
Dorian waved a hand in dismissive agreement.
May, he said. Right, we got Rocky and he blew the doors off. It was all looking fine, completely disused, but it wasn't any kind of vault that I'd ever seen. More like this long tunnel. Further in we got, the less ancient and dusty everything looked. Oh,
Dorian said, stifling laughter.
Yeah,
the bull said.
How exactly did you avoid getting set on fire by May? She did set Krem on fire, but we talked it out and she cut us a deal. Ran security for her for a while until she could get all those entrances blocked up properly. Got paid well. May's all right.
A thoughtful pause.
Never would have thought I'd trust a magister. Not that we're on the same side every time, but...
The bull shrugged. He was very relaxed indeed, just now, under the hand of Magister Dorian Parvis. What was one to make of that? Dorian shook his head.
This is unbelievable, he said. I'm going to have such words with May. This is the first I've heard of the entire incident. She must have laughed herself sick. Probably,
the bull agreed.
Soon as we were out the door, her control's pretty great.
Of course it is, Dorian said.
She lives under attack. She's not the only one,
the bull said. Dorian patted the bull's leg, failed to contain a yawn.
Please, it's hardly as bad as it appears. I am, in the end, a terribly frivolous creature. Are you?
The bull said, brushed Dorian's hair carefully back from his forehead, an odd mirror to Kay's comforting touch earlier. This touch, though, sent sparks across his skin. Not terribly soothing. But he liked it a great deal, anyway. Dorian said drowsily.
Ever so. Quite the despair of all around. Never a serious thought in my head, nor a care for anything beyond my strange proclivities.
The bull was looking at him strangely, but if he had a question, Dorian didn't hear it. Between one thought and the next, he had fallen quite entirely asleep. Another day. May, Dorian said, staring blankly at some unseen point far beyond the cabin partition and nurturing a growing headache. I'm quite tired of going in circles for today. I haven't the faintest just now. But I do have an idea for a motion. Write this down for me, would you? And perhaps I can look up current praxis. You know I would do it myself if I could, but... No, of course I don't mean to suggest that you aren't competent. I was merely... Yes, naturally you can. You were terribly magnificent, and I remain in your debt. Thank you. To work in fragments was an endless frustration.
As well to scrub the deck, perhaps. Take Nishok up on that offer of learning his way around the ropes. Obligation, though distant, remained. It was quite remarkable that he found himself with the space to let it go, even in moments. Dorian knelt, knees spread. It was just past lunch, but the nature of sailing being as it was, someone was always coming off duty, and someone was always resting. People came and went constantly. There was very little privacy to be had outside of his own cabin.
"That a thing for you, then?"
Asar asked.
"You like it that someone might walk right through here any moment?" "Oh, well, I don't mind it,"
Dorian said, smiling up at him indulgently, admiring the curve of his cock, almost fully hard now, quite long, but not overly thick.
"It can be delightful to be caught, I suppose, by the right person. But right now I'm really only interested in expediency. If you've no objections yourself, of course."
Rows of barrels lashed firmly together provided a partial screen, but not enough to keep them entirely from view.
"Oh, well then,"
Asar said, and Dorian rather thought he was blushing a little, although his skin was quite a dark grey to begin with. He seemed slightly uncertain, although anything but uninterested.
"Allow me,"
Dorian said kindly, and leant forward to press a kiss to the tip of Asar's cock, took it between finger and thumb to slide the foreskin gently back from the head. Asar made a small sound in his throat, perhaps surprise.
Yeah. "Please, don't trouble to hold back,"
Dorian said.
"Grip my hair if you like. I rather do enjoy that."
A heavy, smooth weight on his tongue, the stretch of holding his jaw wide open for such a substantial cock, the thick taste of it, a little sharp, filling his mouth. Dorian's moan of satisfaction was thoroughly muffled. Asar's hand twisted in his hair, more firmly than he would have expected from that initial hesitation, and Dorian let himself sink into it, let himself be pulled around. Asar's thrusts firm, but never too deep. Dorian pressed his fingers to the sensitive skin behind Asar's balls to feel his cock jerk, to hear him gasp. Dorian was terribly hard himself, but that could wait. He closed his eyes and focused only on Asar's cock.
"Fuck,"
Asar said, with a kind of wonder, his voice pitched low.
"Fuck, look how well you take it. Never fucked a human before. Didn't think you could... Oh!"
Dorian blinked his eyes open slowly, pulled back to smirk up at Asar.
"Oh, I can do a great many things," he said,
closing his lips delicately around the head of Asar's cock again. Asar's laugh was shaky.
"Well, now I believe you." "Infuriating,"
Dorian said.
"I wonder sometimes how we are ever to accomplish anything in this wretched political system. But I suppose burning everything down without a plan very rarely does wonders either."
He sighed. The bull poured another drink. Dorian let the gentle rocking of the boat tip him slightly against the bull's side.
"Look," the bull said, "you're working for reform. That shit's always slow. Grinding. You've got to think long term."
"Please," Dorian said.
"I'm well aware. I'm not a complete fool. I'm simply a little tired. I know May wants me to stay here, but I'm not sure I shouldn't leave when you next put in for supplies. I feel quite entirely useless like this."
"All right,"
the bull said, tone neutral.
"I'm not your keeper. I did my job. You're on your own."
"But you have an opinion,"
Dorian said.
"You figure."
"I may not know you very well, but I can tell you that I'm quite sure you always have an opinion."
"Guess it takes one to know one,"
the bull said, still in that annoyingly neutral tone.
"Tell me,"
Dorian said, perhaps a little too sharply.
"Look, like you say, we haven't known each other long."
The bull sighs.
what I think is, it won't damn well kill you to take a break. Might kill you not to. Seems like a pretty straightforward call to me.
I think, Dorian said, I may need a stronger drink for this.